Jesus loves me. This I know. And that's a song that many of us, whether we have been in church all our life or not, but people that haven't, many people know that song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. We have a resource here at this church that we offer free to anyone and everyone. It's called Our Daily Bread. You'll find them out in the foyer, out there. You'll find them out here on the table if you head out this direction after church. And I got it in large print. And that's great for those who can see the small print and for those that can't see the small print. I personally like the large print. Even though I can handle the small print, I find it's easier to just to follow along and read the larger print. It's a great way to have a focus time with God each day. It doesn't take, even for a slow reader, it wouldn't take you more than, if you're a really slow reader, 10 minutes max to go through there, and you'll have a scripture memory verse. You'll have a beautiful story that will point you towards a truth of God's Word. Often it ends with a little poem or a prayer at the very end. If you want more, that's what I like about the Daily Bread, because it gives a scripture passage that you could actually turn in your Bible and go to and read, and it correlates with everything they've written in the devotional. I highly recommend, if you don't currently have a time each day with God, focusing, helping yourself focus on the things that are His, grab that Daily Bread, and it will be a help. And it's fun, because you'll find stories like the following. There's a group of botanists, and they were just got a research grant, and they headed to the Alps because they wanted to see if they could find a flower that was not currently categorized. And so they were just kind of at the hill area where there's still villages, and they're looking at binoculars, high-powered binoculars, up into the mountains to see where they might trek to find this flower. And sure enough, they found in this gorge, and it was the only place, scouring all around, it was the only place that they could see this one flower in this gorge, and they had never seen this flower before. It was absolutely unique. The problem was getting to it. And they were all full-grown men and felt like they didn't really want to risk one of their other scientists lowering them into this gorge or whatever. So there was a young lad in the area, and they said, "Hey, buddy, would you be willing to help us?" Now, we'll call him Johnny, okay? "Johnny, would you be willing to help us? We saw this flower, and we'd like to, get a picture of it or whatever they needed him to do. But we're going to have to lower you down into the gorge." So the young man, he got to look through their binoculars, and he saw where it was, and he looked up and down that gorge, and he kind of got excited about the chance to do this. They told him who they were, and that he would actually get to play a part in this identifying this new flower category, and he's got excited. He said, "Hold on, I'll be right back," and he runs off. A few minutes later, he comes back with another adult man, and he said, "Okay, I'll do it. But this man right here has to be the one holding the rope, because he's my dad." You think about that. This young man, he got excited about the possibilities. He saw these other adult men who were saying, "We'll hold the rope." But that was nothing like his dad holding the rope. He knew that his dad, even to the point of him having to sacrifice his own life, he knew his dad would make sure he was safe going down in that gorge to check out that flower. It's very much like God. Very much like God, once we have humbly confessed before God that we're wrong in the direction of our life that we're taking, no matter how good we might think we are. But before His holiness, we understand then that we are wrong. And we submit to Jesus as our Lord and Commander of our life, Savior of our eternity, and relying only on Him to be made right before God. It is at that point in time that we're rescued from our deserved punishment, which is hell, and we are saved toward our undeserved reward, which is heaven and an eternity in of life. And therefore we have God changing from, in our lives, from being this higher being to being our personal Father. The Bible even says we can call Him Daddy, is the word. And He becomes so much more than just an arbitrary figure of power. But He becomes very personal. Why? Because Jesus loves us. This we know. His love is sure. It's not fickle. It doesn't depend on us. And His secureness, the secureness of that love, is based on His faithfulness and His promise to us, not on our faithfulness, though He wants us to be faithful. But it's not based on that. It's based on God. So because Jesus loves us, then we, like the little boy Johnny, in the hands of his dad, we too are in the strong right hand of Almighty God because of Jesus' love. Because of Jesus' love, we know we are secure. Will you bow your head in prayer with me? Holy God, I thank You so much for the fact that we're secure because of Jesus' love. It's something that we don't have to guess about. We don't have to wonder, do You love us? We don't have to grab a daisy and start picking off the petals. He loves me, He loves me not. But You tell us, You love us. And because of that, we are secure. Jesus, You told us in Your word in the Gospel of John. You said, "My sheep hear My voice, I know them, and they follow Me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish ever. No one will snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." And You said, "The Father and I are one." Well, God, we claim that faithful promise. And we know that we're secure. Today, may we see even more from Your word what we know because of Your love, Jesus. It's in Your name we pray these things. Amen. I'd like to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. The church in Ephesus was a faithful church. They were faithful to the Word of God. Paul wrote many things to them that were of an encouraging nature. They were things that would help them stand stronger, love more, and be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19, where Paul said this: "For this reason I kneel before the Father," that is, Father God, "from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that He may grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power in the inner man through His Spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so you may be filled with all the fullness of God." I think back to the creation story of Adam and Eve. Now, I say story, but it's really an event. It truly happened. It's factual. They were faced with a choice. Here they were in a perfect world. No mosquitoes, no ticks, No hot, humid weather. It was perfect, truly. And they thought they could make it better. Because they wanted to be like God. It wasn't enough for them to understand and have the fullness of God in them, because they did. But they wanted to be God. So often in our lives, we struggle because we want to take God's place of control. And in it, we find insecurity. Insecurity. We may find we want control of our finances. And then we're constantly insecure because of our finances. We find we want control because of our relationships, be it with husband, wife, or if you're single, boyfriend or girlfriend, or children, or whatever it might be, and we want to have control. And yet, we have no control. So as we go through this today, part of the fullness of God is to understand the security of control that God has for us. He's in control. And there's a lot of security in that. And so as we understand this, we will more understand and be filled with the fullness of God. Today, then, let us together discover, because of Jesus' love, hopefully how secure we really are. The Oxford Dictionary defines the word secure as fixed or fastened so as not to give way, become loose, or be lost. That's a strong definition. When we're saved, then we can be like Johnny, and we are fastened as a child of God to our Father God, and that will never change. And He will be a sure and secure anchor for us. Back in the early 1900s, Chinese church leader Watchman Nee, told about a new convert that came in to see him, and the convert was in deep distress. He said these words. He said, "No matter how much I pray, no matter how hard I try, I simply cannot seem to be faithful to my Lord. I think I'm losing my salvation." Pastor Nee said, "Do you see this dog here? He's my dog. He is house trained. He never makes a mess. He's obedient. He is a pure delight to me. Out in the kitchen, I have a son. He's a baby son. He makes a mess. He throws his food around. He fouls his clothes. He's a complete mess. But who's going to inherit my kingdom? Not my dog. My son is my heir." Then he said to his convert, he said, "You are Jesus Christ's heir, because it is for you that he died. It is you that he loved. We are God's heirs with Jesus Christ, not through our perfection, but by means of his grace. Even our salvation, the point of it, that birthday that we have in Christ, and then every day on until we are perfected in Christ." We talked about this before, that we will be perfected in Christ. That's beyond this life. The work of our growth, the work of our sustaining in Him, is based on His faithfulness, His grace, His love, not upon us. It can be very freeing, can't it? The security that we have because that one time we said, "God, I'm wrong. The way I was heading in life and heading towards eternity, I've been wrong. I'm a sinner. I repent. I don't want my ways anymore. I want your ways. Jesus, be Lord of my life. Jesus, I believe you are bodily and physically alive and at the right hand of God even now hearing this prayer. I confess you as Lord." And it tells us in Scripture, then you are saved. I've had the wonderful privilege of hearing several testimonies of people in this congregation. And the ones I heard, it literally was, they were at the end of themselves. And they just cried out to God and said, God, even to the point of some saying, God, if you're real, if you're there, I can't do this anymore. And they just completely submitted and humbled themselves to God and to Jesus as Lord. Then we read Romans 8, chapter 16 to 17, and it says this, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit Himself, testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. As children of God, made so because of Jesus' love and His sacrifice for us on the cross, we know then that we are not just secure as children of God, but we are heirs of God's kingdom with Jesus Christ. Furthermore, because of Jesus' love, we have a powerful taste of what is to come for us in eternity. We have a taste of eternity. And that is, it gives us great security then for our future. Let's relate it this way. There's I believe it was a book, it was a movie, something about like Brewster's Millions, where this uncle or whatever died. He was a multi-millionaire. And he said to the man, he said, if you can spend, I don't know how much it was, I don't know, like $100 or $1 million a day for 30 days or something like that, if you can spend it without having any assets, in other words, he had to just kind of throw his money away, $30 million, then at the end of that time, you'll get like, I don't know, hundreds of millions that you'll inherit. Or you can take the wimp clause or something like that and get some money. I forget exactly how it all goes. So this guy, for 30 days, throws money away, and everybody thinks he's absolutely crazy because he's spending it on stuff that has absolutely no investment value. And I don't know how much, many millions he spent, he did. And he finally was able to do it at the end. And he gained hundreds of millions in inheritance. Well, I think of that with what this is saying here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 to 22, it says, now it is God who strengthens us with you in Christ and has anointed us. He has also sealed us and given us the Spirit as a down payment in our hearts. What this is saying is, God is saying, hey, listen, I've given you a life. You can take the wimp clause. You're a Christian. You're my child. You're an heir, my heir. You can take the wimp clause and go ahead and live your life however you want to live it. And that's all you'll have. That's all you'll have. Or you can spend your life and the world around you is going to think you are throwing your life away. But you can spend it in my way, in the ways that I have given you. And when you're done with your life, I've given you the Holy Spirit. First of all, I'll give you strength. I have anointed you. That's that picture of royalty. And I have given you the Holy Spirit as a down payment, showing you already what your future is going to be, so you're not risking anything. You've got it there. And go ahead and spend your life for me. And then, for eternity, the dividends will be astronomically greater than anything you ever spent. Let's talk brass tacks here. That's a pretty good deal. That's a pretty good deal. It's a pretty secure deal. Because it's Almighty God that tells us this. He gives us the strength. He's already anointed us in royalty. And then He gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us, protect us, keep us heading in the direction we should. And then in the end, we have a future that is sure. We don't have to guess and wonder, like, is the stock market going to make it or not? We don't have to worry about that. It's sure. The Apostle Paul describes this kind of security like something being placed in a secure, top-secret hiding place that nobody can get to. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. So if you've been raised with the Messiah, that speaks of being saved, seek what is above, where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above, not on what is on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. So spiritually, we die to the things of the world. We're alive to the things that are God's. And therefore, our soul is hidden with the Messiah in God. In verse 4, when the Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in all glory. What a beautiful picture. Our soul, upon that acceptance of Jesus as our Lord, our Savior, our Commander, upon us becoming children of God and heirs of the kingdom, then we are, it is as though our soul is locked away in a secret place that nothing that wants to harm, eternally harm us, can get to. It can never eternally harm us. And then there will be a day, the day of Jesus Christ, Scripture calls it, that we will be revealed with Jesus before Almighty God in glory, as though the victor of battle. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. There's a hymn with the phrase, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." The true home for a Christian is not this earth. Once we are children of God and heirs of His kingdom, do we really want to inherit this place? Seriously? We get to inherit the kingdom of God. And this isn't our home. Why? Why do I tend to want to hold on to it so hard? Do you ever ask yourself that? Why do I hold on to this world so hard when this isn't even my home? Or just passing through? There's a great security then in the knowledge that we're citizens of heaven. Knowing this and relying on our Savior Jesus and His love, we can be courageous in loving others to loving Jesus so that they too can have this same security. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. For I've often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They're focused on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're reminded again that because of Jesus' love, we know we are secure. Not only as children and heirs, empowered with strength by God, anointed as royal heirs, but we also are legal citizens of heaven. With this kind of security comes the possibility of peace. Charles Ryrie wrote about a three-year-old in the hands of his father in the pool. Three-year-old Bobby was being held by his dad in a pool. And they were in the shallow water where just Bobby's feet were touching. And so then his dad, just trying to teach his son trust, started walking deeper and deeper into the pool, and he chanted, "Deeper, deeper, deeper, deeper." And the water came up to his ankles, covered his calf, covered his thigh, covered up to his little belly button. And the little boy's face just showed terror. The thing is, Had Bobby been left alone in the shallow end, he'd have drowned. Just as easily and as much as had he been put in the deep end without his dad, he'd have drowned. Had he been able to cognitively realize that his sole security was in the arms of his dad, he would have had no reason to have anything but peace. Nothing around him mattered. Nothing around him was going to harm him. He was in the arms of his dad. That's how it is with God. God being our Father, we being His children, but heirs of His kingdom, we're in His arms. Life starts coming around us, but we need to understand that even if life was easy without God, we're going to perish. So even as life gets harder or deeper in trial and tribulation, persecution, suffering, whatever it might be, no matter how deep it is, we're in the arms of God. It doesn't matter. We can be at peace. We can be at peace if we allow ourselves to be. If we let God realize that God is in control anyway. Like little Bobby, he just thought he was in control. And he was terrified because the water was coming up all around him. But his dad was in control of that, making sure that nothing was going to happen to Bobby, even if the water lapped his chin. We have that possibility of peace. Just because we become a Christian doesn't mean instantly we are going to have peace. Because that takes some further humility and submission on our part to have that peace that God offers. The question is, are we going to keep control or are we going to let God keep control? Romans 8:6 says this, "For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace." Philippians chapter 4, 5 through 7 says, "Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We have to remember that because Jesus loves us, we know that we are secure. And since He's already conquered the world and all the ills in it, then we can have amazing personal peace. Security without peace, it's not very secure, is it? If we have inner torment, inner struggles, if we have worries that are just beyond us, we can be as secure as we want to be and be insecure in ourselves. But when we understand the fullness of God, when we understand the fullness of God's security, then no matter what it is, no matter what it is in our world around us, we can have real security, which is accompanied by peace. John chapter 16, verses 32 to 33. "Look, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world," Jesus said. "Be courageous. I have conquered the world." The bottom line is this. Because Jesus loves us, this we know. We are secure. And like Johnny trusting his dad, and Bobby needing to trust his dad, we're secure as children and heirs of God. We just have to trust our Father God. So when trials come or the waters of trouble deepen, we know God is in control. We are secure in the strengthening of God, in the fact that our souls are in Jesus' hand, hidden in that secure place. And we are secure as citizens, legal citizens of heaven. And all of which, all of this should give us then the power of personal peace, no matter what happens. I'd like to offer a challenge today. Absolutely, as I've challenged before, think and pray, study, what do we know because Jesus loves us? Share it. Share it with, specifically with someone you know that is lost, spiritually lost, or they're struggling in their faith. But now that we know we're secure, now that we hopefully have more of an understanding of what that security is, the challenge, extra challenge this week then, is to tell someone what you know because Jesus loves you that is a stranger to you. Just ask God for that, what I call divine appointment. Might be you're at the grocery store and just, I don't know, maybe they're picking up the same thing you are. Oh, you wash your dishes with that too? Or whatever. Or I used to wash my dishes with that, and good gracious, I never got them clean. Why don't you try this? I don't know. And then just say, hey, you know what? I've just been thinking this week what I know because Jesus loves me. Well, what do you have to lose to go there? Right? You could maybe even just say, you know, my pastor is talking about how secure I am, and that because of that security, I can have peace in any situation. Do you have anything like that? Do it unashamed. You got security. What can they really do to you? Nothing. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the privilege that we have of your word. And it is through your word that we understand more and more what we can know because Jesus, you loved us so much that you died on a cross. You willingly allowed yourself to go through torture and death and burial, but you conquered all of that and were risen from the dead bodily, physically. And we're here today claiming, those of us claiming to be Christians, we claim that you are physically, bodily alive today at the right hand of the throne of God. We claim that you are Lord of our lives, that you are Savior and holder of our eternity, and that we are children of God, heirs of the kingdom of God with you, Jesus. So, Holy God, we confess that before you and your throne, knowing that we're not worthy, thanking you to be our Father, and that we are secure, and that because of that we can have peace in literally every situation. May we more and more relinquish our control to you. May we more and more understand the fullness of the security we have because of Jesus' love in you. As we transition the service to our time of communion, I pray that we will focus on what you did because you loved us, Jesus. God, what you did by giving up your Son because you loved us. And may we remember the sacrifice, Jesus, that you made. Remember, God, the sacrifice you made by letting your Son come lower than the angels and be subject to your own creation's horrendous act of torture and death upon your Son. And remember that it was all done because you love us, and a sacrifice had to be made to pay my penalty for sin, to pay each person in here their penalty for sin, if we only accept your gift of that payment. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.